Just briefly, we're going to go over where we've been. We've been going through the gospel through the ages. Okay? We started in the everlasting gospel, where God talked about how eternal he was. Not only did he create this one that we are now in, this world that we are now in, he also created the previous one that was before Adam, where the dinosaurs existed. God destroyed that world because of man's wickedness. Okay, to let you know that he is the eternal God. It's not just this 6,000 year period, but God is eternal. One of his names is Ancient of Days. He says a thousand years is as one day, and one day is as a thousand years with the Lord. Then we moved on to the gospel of the kingdom, where God put his message in the stars called the zodiac to let men know that even though they are fallen, that they had a Savior was going to come unto them. And we have received that Savior in times past, and his name is Jesus. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
As we went through, we found out that they killed the herald and the king. But that didn't stop the power of God. God sent forth the message that we did last night on the risen Christ. Okay? Where the Holy Ghost fell. Now, you know, a lot of folks, I'm going to say this again. A lot of folks think that the church started then. It did not start then. Jesus was still dealing with the Jews.
Right.
He gave proof of that with Ananias and Sapphira. When they lied to the Holy Ghost, God killed them. Okay? The Bible says, you shall not bear false witness, number one. And if you took a vow in the Old Testament, if you did not fulfill that vow, that put you in danger of death. And so that's what happened to him. Now, okay, once again, Paul went at the end conclusion of near the book of Acts, and he was telling them about Christ, and the Jews rejected him for a second time.
Yep.
The first time was when they killed him. The second time was at the assembly. Paul then declares by the Holy Ghost that now the gospel will be presented to the Gentiles. That's who we are, and they will hear it. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the first chapter. Before we get started, I want to reiterate one thing that we established during this week, is that you have to be able, as a student and as a worker for God, when you're studying, you have to be able to find Jesus in every part of the Bible. Once again, just because his name Jesus does not appear, you still have to be able to find it. We gave the example in the Old Testament of the word God. The word God in the Old Testament meant Elohim. That's the second of the Godhead. That was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. That's why you find the name Jesus there. We're not finding it in the Old Testament. But yet, Jesus was in operation. Jesus was the one who gave them forth the word at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. Why? Because he was creator of all things. Jehovah, his father, was God in covenant relation to Israel. And I'm going to just give you this little secret. Jesus spoke the Ten Commandments. Why? Because now all the earth had to obey it, because he is the creator. If Jehovah had spoken, because man got the guts. he don't have the brain, but he got the guts. I could tell Jehovah, I could point my finger in his face and say, you didn't give that to me. You were in covenant relations with Israel, and I'm not in covenant relations. Therefore, I don't have to obey the word. But because the creator said it, now all men are subject to this word. Come on and give God some praise. So you got to be able to find Jesus in the book. Now, also, you know, folks like to put them words in red. Yeah, I'm going to mess with some folks. Meaning you want to yield to that when God has put what we're going to go into operation. These books are not for just not to take up space. These books are for us. In fact, what I'm going to do before I get started here, we're in Galatians, the first chapter. I'm going to give you the plan of God for these seven books. Okay? God gave this to us. These seven epistles. Okay? Seven is God's number of perfection, spiritual perfection. And these books are designed to get the church who we are to the highest level where God wants us to be. Now it starts with Romans, okay, which talks about doctrine and instruction. It's the gospel of God. It was never hidden. It was a promise before. In other words, God prophesied that this gospel was going to come. What it means is God's justification of both Jew and Gentile individually. It means that God has put me forth as righteous because of his blood.
Come on now.
I'm now righteous. Okay? It didn't matter that I'm not a Jew because they were God's chosen people. I can stand right next to him and claim that he's my God just like they can.
Amen.
That he died and rose. That we died and rose with Christ, and the relation dispensationally, the subject, beginning the foundation of the subject of the mystery. Now, the next book is Corinthians. That's reproof. That's practical failure to exhibit the teachings of Romans through not seeing their standing as having died and risen with Christ. In other words, that's failure in practice. See, we're supposed to practice this word that we hear. Okay? We're not just supposed to, it's not supposed to just go in one ear and out the other. We have to put this in practice. And what is described as leaven in practice. Okay? What is leaven? In the Old Testament, God would at certain times would forbid them to use leaven at all because leaven represents sin. What is leaven? What does leaven do? Leaven gets into things, especially yeast, and it causes it to swell up. Men will swell up with their own doctrine and go aside from what God is trying to put in here. So that's why he's telling us leaven in practice. I'm going to skip Galatians because we're going to be dealing with that tonight. Ephesians goes back to doctrine and instruction. It's talking about the mystery of God, always hidden, never before revealed. Individual Jews and Gentiles gathered out and made into one new man in Christ Jesus, and we are seated together with him in the heavenlies. That's what Ephesians talks about. The mystery of God, that we are now his body. They hid that because the Jews would have said that God would never align himself with the heathens. So that's why it was hid. You don't get to see it until you go into these scriptures and go into these books. Philippians talks about reproof. Once again, practical failure to exhibit the teachings of Ephesians in manifesting the mind of Christ as members of the one body. We have to understand that we are members together. Okay? Because a lot of times we try to keep that, I call it Old Testament attitude of singularity. We don't want to be part of each other. We're going to be by ourselves. But God has called us to be together. God has called us into unity, just like he, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are unified. They are inseparable. Therefore, he wants his body to be inseparable. Come on and give God some more praise. Colossians is the correction, doctrinal failure as to the teaching of Ephesians. Wrong doctrine springing up, which come from not holding the head. In other words, Christ is the head of the body, and we have to hold him as such. In other words, that we hold on to his mindset, we hold on to his teaching, and not seeing themselves complete and perfection in Christ. In other words, they're going outside of Christ to seek their perfection. They're going out of sight, out of Christ for their completeness. Okay? And that's doctrinal failure. Last is Thessalonians. Doctrine and instruction. Not only dead and risen with Christ, as in Romans, not only seated in the heavenlies with Christ, as in Ephesians, but caught away to meet the Lord, who's going to be in the air. So to be forever with the Lord. Okay, now I'm not going to get into that too much. But I'm going to just tell you like this. The The Bible says every eye shall see him. So that means that Jesus is going to be in the air where we can see him, and we're going to be on the ground. We're going to be caught away to wherever he is. If he appears in Jerusalem at that time, the trumpet blow, and we're supposed to assemble, we're going to be caught to that point. We're not going to be surrounded, because if we all stand up and we get in a circle, we won't be able to see each other, let alone God. So we're going to be on the ground. We're not going to be flying. He's going to be in the air above everybody where every eye can see him. Amen. Caught away would be to meet the Lord, and he who's going to be in the air. So to forever be with the Lord. So in Romans, you are justified in Christ. Ephesians, you are sanctified in Christ. In other words, set aside for his use. In Thessalonians, you are glorified with Christ. No reproof, no correction. All praise and thanksgiving. This is the typical church that God is looking for. Come on and give him some praise. Amen. Now, we're going to start in Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Just talking about Paul, he was sent on a special mission or an errand. That's why he is an apostle. That's what an apostle is. And I'm not going to put my opinion on it, but I just say it like this. An apostle is more than being just in name only. An apostle has a specific function.
All right.
Okay? Okay, so I mean, I'm just using myself. I just can't call myself no apostle. I have to fill out the function of what it is, okay? A special one, one sent on a special errand. Now, there were two primarily back then in the era of the epistles. Peter, who was sent to the Jews, okay? Now, God tried to use him to go to the Gentile, but you all remember Peter had that dream of the four-footed, the sheep with all kinds of animals in it. God was showing him. He said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "Not so."
Yep.
Three times he said, "Uh-uh." He said, I'm not, I'm a Jew. I don't touch anything that's common or unclean. He said, "Call not thou unclean what I have cleaned up."
Yep.
Trying to send him.
Uh-huh.
Peter said it three times. God closed it up. Mm-hmm. Raised up Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles. Now, this Paul, and when I was talking about seeing God in all the books, you have to be able to see and understand how God operates. Because a lot of folks didn't like what Paul preached. A lot of folks don't like people who talk about Paul. He says he's not an apostle, not by, of men. He didn't know his apostleship didn't originate with man.
Right.
Nor did a group of men get together and call him apostle. Mm-hmm. But his apostleship, his office proceeded from Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, but now is as exalted and glorified as Christ.
Amen.
And God the Father, who talks about, in other words, when you talk about God the Father, when you see the Father, you're going to see the Son is talking about relationship to his beloved Son, whom he raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, all the brethren who are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He's saying, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil. Okay? And he's talking about what was going on back then. But the power of God is so great that he is able to deliver us from our present evil.
Amen.
Because, you know, a lot of times we thought, you know, they had it better back in those days. No, they didn't. Our fight is just as good or maybe even greater. Why? Because we got more distractions than they do.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of distractions. They, you know, they may have the evil king to deal with, but we got folks on every corner looking to do us in, looking for an opportunity. So we have to be sharp. We have to keep our eyes open when we pray so that we can overcome this present evil in our that's around us.
Amen. Amen.
He says, according to the will or the desire of God the Father. That's what Jesus did. He presented himself for our sins according to the will of God the Father. To whom glory, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to stop right there. Because usually when you read the epistles, Paul always greets those churches with a particular greeting of salutations to the saints and calling them out, the ones who are honorable. Here he don't give no greeting like that. Here's the reason why. Sixth verse. He said, I marvel or I wonder that ye are so soon removed.
Come on now.
From him that called you into the grace of God, or grace of Christ rather, unto another gospel.
Right.
Now this gospel was prophesied and arranged by God from the beginning. Remember I gave you that, those that were here, I gave y'all that illustration of how God set the ages up. Go look at that picture that's over here to your right. You know, I told some of y'all about it Sunday, how God arranged everything in that he wanted in the age or that time period and framed it off. Okay, so he prepared this gospel for us before Adam messed up. This was for us. Okay? So, but he's wondering now that how could you remove yourself? How could you desert God who called you to this? Into this grace, this unearned favor. God has given us unearned favor. And we're going to remove ourselves because we don't like the way it sounds. Or we don't like the way who it's coming from. Let me tell you something. Our senior pastor caught a whole lot of, how do you say that, 4377 or 43 hockey, double hockey stick for preaching this guy. Why? Because it wasn't conformed to what we were hearing.
Amen.
So they did him like they did Paul. And saying that it was his made up gospel. That's why Paul says in the beginning, it's not for men. In other words, it's not for me. And no group came together and said, you an apostle to preach this gospel. But it came by Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, we got a great history in this church. You know, and we still got, you know, on our website, you know, great things with Pastor Hart and how we used to operate. And the operation number just said like this, it was the flavor of the week. So we had a whole lot of folks coming in here. Different ones. When God set him as our leader, God began to change things. But everybody wasn't happy with the change. Some folks start calling this gospel old fashioned. Why? Because it wasn't the way they wanted. See, you know, they used to that flavor of the week. And God changes things just like he changed with Joshua and Moses. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua is going to lead you over. Joshua did things different than Moses. Why? It was under the direction of God. It wasn't his choice. It was God's choice.
Come on now.
All that live godly gonna suffer persecution. Especially when you preaching this word that talks about you gotta take responsibility for your own action.
Amen.
Come on and give God some praise. So I'm gonna go back on this. He says, I wonder that ye are so soon removed from the grace of God, of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, unto another gospel. Seventh verse, which is not another. In other words, this is not sent by God. This is not good news. But you done removed yourself to it.
Yeah.
Jump to the eighth verse. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach or announce or declare or show any other gospel, a gospel that's contrary to this good news that God has motioned to you, that's pushed to you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Once again, this gospel is sent from God the Father unto us. Where we don't have to do like the Jews did. We, you know, discussing on Sunday mornings the tabernacle and the things that they had to do. In other words, to stay close to God. God, they wanted, you know, to be close to God, so God gave them the instructions about building the tabernacle. Okay? But God wanted sacrifice because... He couldn't just set himself down in the middle of that.
Come on now. Come on now.
Because Israel was full of sin. Right. And a sinful attitude. See, uh-huh. That's the thing. Not only sin, but a sin attitude.
Amen.
A mindset, a nature, which God was taking care of from the beginning. Right. See, a lot of folks say, well, we just start talking about this flesh. No, God was covering flesh. From the beginning. But folks, if you don't go in there and look for it, you won't find it.
Come on now.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man or anyone, because women preach the gospel too, anyone preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Jump up back up to the seventh verse. I'm going to start with the word but. But there be some that trouble you, certain ones troubling you, and will pervert or change the gospel of Christ.
Uh-huh.
He heard it. I'm going to begin. He heard it. When I came along, I began to hear it. Y'all got your own gospel. And there was one particular guy, I mentioned his name, was telling me, you know, you can't follow everything your pastor say. I didn't say a word. Because my mind was already made up. Amen. Not because of what he said, but what God showed me in this book. Amen. Let me tell you something. I've heard three prominent people in my life say, don't take my word for anything. Open this book and find out for yourself. Because anybody can get up here, I mean, their heart is pure and can make a slip of the tongue and make a mistake and say something that is not correct. Therefore, if this is your life insurance policy, you have to know how to open it up and read the policy. Yes. Because your life is on the line.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to be held responsible for what we do, but if you don't follow this policy out to the one that saved you, if we mess up and God sent us over, you're going to follow us right along with us. Why? Because you didn't take the time to read your insurance policy. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen, amen.
But there be some that trouble you and were wishing to change it.
Yeah.
Because it's not God's gospel, it's your gospel. A lot of folks not satisfied with it. You know why they're not satisfied? Because they don't know it. It don't sound familiar to them. Let me tell you, God's ways are beyond our ways.
Amen.
It said, who the scripture said, who has counseled the Lord? I was thinking about saying, you know, just in the silliest sense. Now who that took Jesus and took him into your office, your psychiatrist's office, and laid him on the couch and told him, okay, what about your childhood? Like you gonna help him? And I just begin to think, I know it's silly, and I'm like, well, Jesus said, well, you know, my childhood, you know, I was around before the first particle. I was around before Adam's was assembled. You know? So how are you gonna tell God that his gospel is not the gospel. How are you going to tell him it's not the truth when he arranged for this to come down the line, motioned it to us before we were even thought of? Before the universe was created, he had this gospel coming down the pipe for us. Come on and give God some praise. He says, "For he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Who you gonna please?" This put it put him out, and it put me out. We were in trouble. We was getting it from all sides. But I decided I wanted to please God, because at the end of it all. Only Jesus got the door prizes.
That's right.
He's the only one that got the door prizes.
Amen.
And he says, once again, all that are godly will suffer persecution for this word that we preach that folks don't like, but if it's the truth, you got to preach it anyhow. You got to know about it anyhow. You got to proclaim it with your lifestyle anyhow, whether folks like it or not. Why? Because it comes from God. And he's the only one that's got your answers for you. He's the only one that got your reward for you. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
He said, do I now persuade men of God? Do I obey men who don't want me to preach this? You need not to preach this. That's your pastor's gospel. Like I said, I didn't argue with him. I learned not to argue. Two prominent people told me not to argue. My pastor here, he said, if you got to argue the word, you don't have a point. And my father, he said, when I was young, he said, Tim, son, if you see that your words avail you not, stop talking. Stop talking. Out of the mouth of two or three over that word of God. It was paraphrased, but it was the word of God. Let it be established. So I don't argue with folks. I just let you know, hey, where I'm at, and that's it. I'm not going to argue with you over the word, because guess what? You convinced in yourself, and I'm convinced in mine.
Come on now.
Woo, Jesus. Or do I not persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? Mm-hmm. A lot of folks want to make other folks happy. You know who I want to make happy? I want to make Jesus happy.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
That's who I want to make happy. He says, for if I yet please men, I shouldn't be the servant of God.
That's right.
I shouldn't be preaching this gospel if I'm going to mutate what God has sent to me.
Come on now.
I'm worried about what man is going to say.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, but I certify or I declare unto you, I make it known, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not according to man.
Amen.
Now here's one of the issues with Paul. See, Paul wasn't around when the disciples was with Jesus.
Right.
Paul didn't hear Jesus speak like the other disciples. God evolved the Old Testament to Paul to bring forth this gospel. Now, just because he didn't hear Jesus personally like they did in the flesh, I find that even though he didn't meet him like that, that the gospel still ties together.
Come on now.
It ties with the four gospels. It also ties together with the Old Testament.
Amen.
Why? Because it's from God and not from man.
Amen.
So I certify unto you that this gospel which is preached of me or by me that's coming from me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation or the unveiling that proceeded from Christ. He's the one that gave it to me. Now, let's go to Romans the first chapter. Come on and give the Lord some praise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. In other words, he called himself a bond servant.
Yes.
Yep.
A bond servant. He was one who submitted himself to slavery to Christ. Called to be an apostle by God. Separated unto the gospel of God. God separated him to it. Which he had promised before. God had promised us before. By his prophets in the holy scriptures. Once again, God is letting you know that this gospel that we have that was sent to the Gentiles and sent to us was from him. Therefore, once again, you have to embrace it. Therefore, you've got to study it. Because, you know, once again, folks would like to point out, talking about the words in red. And what that'll do is that you can read the Gospels. You can read and study the Old Testament, but you can't stay there.
Amen.
Can't stay there. You can't stay in the Old Testament. Why? Because the Old Testament or the Old Covenant has been abolished.
That's right.
All of those rituals and all of that stuff that took place back then, God has erased them.
Amen.
The only thing that's come forth out of that is the love, the joy, the peace of God. Tithings come forth out of that because it's mentioned in the Gospels as well as the Epistles.
That's right.
But that's it. The Gospels, the four Gospels, you can't stay there because Jesus, that means Jesus was in one place at one time. He was in one place at one time. And where was he sent? He was sent to the lost house of Israel.
Amen.
He was not sent to us. What did he tell that woman that came in for the healing? Can't give, you know, what's precious to, and I'm going to paraphrase it, to the dogs?
Yep.
He said, I'm sent to the lost house of Israel. But because the woman had so much faith, she got what she needed anyway. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. And he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about a realm in God. And we are already in that realm. The place is his body. We are in the realm that God has prepared for us. We are already seated in heavenly places. Come on and give God some praise. We were the heathens back in the day. God called us heathens. We were the heathens. We were the outsiders. We weren't the blessed ones. But yet God, in his infinite mercy, has motioned that word down to us. And folks is getting saved. Folks is getting healed. Folks getting delivered. Why? Because of the gospel and the grace of God. Come on and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Concerning his son Jesus, our Lord, our owner, the one who bought us with his own blood, which is made of the seed of David. He's the king, letting you know he's king. He wasn't no commoner, he was king, he was regal. God raised him up to be the king, and even though they slayed the king, God raised the king back up. They rejected him a second time, but God presented him to us, and guess what? I got down on my knees and said, Lord, I need a savior. Hallelujah. And he heard my cry. Yeah, I was a teenager, but he answered me, and he blessed me. He saved me, hallelujah, from my sin. Hallelujah. He came according to the flesh, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power. Hallelujah, the power to save, heal, and set you free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let me start out just a little bit. Come on and give it some prayer.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. He was declared to be the Son of God. He was marked out. They were expressed once again, it expresses that relationship of Father to Son. The Son came down here and declared the Father. You know why? Because he was in his bosom. Nobody else could declare the Father. Folks talking about, I'm a witness. I'm a witness to Jehovah. Excuse me. Well, we ain't on air tonight, so it don't make no difference. I'm Jehovah's witness, but you ain't seen him. Jesus comes in the one you see. Jesus, the one that comes and introduces himself. Now, we had that advocate with the Father, but no man has seen God at any time. But we have all beheld his Son in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come on and give me some more praise. Woo, hallelujah. According to the Spirit of holiness, that new nature, hallelujah, that new nature that we have, he was according to the Spirit of holiness, spiritual nature in resurrection, set in contrast with the flesh. In other words, he wasn't bound to it. Hallelujah, he wasn't bound to it, but that nature was in him. And it was in him by the resurrection from the dead when God raised him up. He didn't see corruption. So when Jesus died, he created a new state for us. He created salvation that all that call upon him are now baptized into his body, into that incorruptible temple. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise. Woo, Jesus. Fifth verse, by whom we have received grace. And apostleship, we receive apostolic grace. Hallelujah. For the obedience of the faith among all nations. Hallelujah. For his name's sake. All was done on his behalf for us. Why? Because he wanted to save us. He was reconciled to go do the Father's will to bring us back to the position that we occupied before the man fell. Now we stand up. With the Spirit of God in us. Hallelujah. Able to declare. Now you got to make your own choice. It's up to you now. You've been made free from your sin. You've been made free from the old nature. But it's up to you. You got to choose. Choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve yourself. Everybody in here, we know we don't serve Lucifer, so we serve our own interests. I have to do what I want to do because I feel like it, whether it's against God's word or not. Therefore, I have to choose and I have to take responsibility for when it happens. Come on and give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Sixth verse, it says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? We're called of him. Let me show you what he's called us to. Go to the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter of Romans. Glory to his name.
Come on now.
Thank you, Jesus. Eighth chapter. And I'm starting to 28th verse.
Uh-huh.
He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what we've been called to. We've been called to carry the nature and the character of our God. And folks say they want to back up from the gospel. They want to back up. This is what saves you. This is what keeps you. But you want to back up because you don't like what you hear. Or you want to back up because it ain't the one that you want to be presenting the gospel to you. Back in the day, because you know, hey, we all did it. I raised my hand because I did it some too. Hey, we didn't like who was preaching that week. We didn't show up.
Yeah.
Tell the truth. They like who was preaching didn't show up that week. Or showed up, you know, out of the choir, showed up on Sunday night, Sunday and Friday. Missed the rest of the service. You have to grow up out of that. God began to call me to the ministry. I began to grow up out of it.
Amen.
So once again, let me get back to this. We've been called. We've been called to his purpose. We've been fashioned to the image, the likeness of his son. That he might be the firstborn from the dead. Because he died and he is the firstborn from the dead. And we who are now in Christ, we die out to ourselves.
Amen.
We die out to our desires, our opinions, our feelings. 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate or foreordain, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He set us forth as righteous.
Amen.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, God, the way God looks at it, God looks at us as an end product. He don't see our faults when he sees the blood.
Yeah.
He don't see our mistakes, he sees the blood.
Yeah.
And when he called us into this gospel,
yeah.
the called are already spoken of in the design purpose as justified and glorified. God sees us as glorified with his son right now. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go back to Romans, first chapter. Jump down to the 14th verse. Glory to God. Romans 1 and 14, this is Paul speaking. He said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He's like, I owe God.
Yeah.
We owe him too.
Yeah.
We owe him everything.
Yeah.
Because of what he's done for us. We haven't done anything. We haven't done anything. He did all the work. And when he finished, he hung his head and said it was finished. He finished the work. And because he finished the work, we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. He's working on us from the inside out. He's working on us, perfecting us and maturing us by this word that he has sent unto us. That's why he said, I'm debtor to both to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise, to the learned and to the unlearned. So as much as in me is, as much as ability as God has put in me, I'm ready, willing, and eager to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Because they were outside and they had their own gods. But he said, I'm willing to preach to you also. Why? Because I'm a debtor to God. He said, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You can't be ashamed of this gospel. God said, if you be ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you before God and his angels. This is the gospel. He said, for it is the power of God. Here's the reproductive power of God unto salvation. It pushes us to salvation when we hear this word. Now, you might not hear or receive God the first time you hear, but you keep coming back, keep coming back. And at the proper time when God draws you, he will save you. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some more praise. It's the power of God and the salvation to set the captive free, to open the blinded eyes, to deliver those that are captive and are bound. It's that salvation to everyone that believes it. Now, it was still offered to the Jew first because it was the family, but it's also offered to us. Hallelujah. From faith to faith. It says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Hallelujah. By appointment, by faith is revealed in order to produce faith in them to whom it's preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some more praise. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. As it is written, the just shall live eternally by faith. Hallelujah. That's what this is motioning us to. It's motioning us to eternal life. So that we have that existence with Jesus. Now, we've got eternal life now. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We live by what he did. It says, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
It says, for by grace are ye saved. Through faith. It's not our faith, it was the faith of the faithful one. Hallelujah. That we now have salvation. Not of works. So nobody can boast.
That's right.
It don't make no difference how much of money you got in your pocket or how much you don't. We all stand together because of this salvation.
That's right.
This great salvation. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight I'm going to ask, if you want prayer tonight, I'm going to ask you to form a line. We're on that right side. I'm going to touch and agree with you. Hallelujah.